with us. Our listeners 5-6 months ago raised money with April Gallup here on the show to be able to file suit against George Bush and Dick Cheney for the 9/11 attacks. In this lawsuit, they're going to get discovery unless they declare national security, which should be very, very interesting. That should be revealing in and of itself. The ex-GI plaintiff alleges she has been denied government support since then because she raised painful questions about the inexplainable failure of military defense at the Pentagon that day. The suit charges that Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Myers conducted a conspiracy to facilitate the attacks and alleges that other unnamed individuals had foreknowledge. She was there smelling the explosives. She was right in the zone where the supposed aircraft hit, you know, cutting cleanly through the walls, no airplane wreckage found. And then they showed up at the hospital telling her what she did see and basically threatening her. That's when she started asking questions. She brought her baby to work that day, which she'd been authorized to do. They were then claiming that, you know, she shouldn't have done that, as if she could go into the building without them knowing she had her baby. Just an amazing story with April Gallup. And so I wanted to get her lawyer on to first recap what happened to her and then why he's chosen to take this case and where the case is going. This is a landmark, obviously landmark case in its importance, and if it goes anywhere, extremely important, historical. So thank you. Thanks for coming on, sir.
No, you bet.
Short segment now. Just recap what happened to April, why she's suing, and then let's get into the details of the suit itself.
Well, you know, she was it was the first day back from maternity leave, and she showed up at the Pentagon, and she was going to take her kid to daycare, and they said, no, we want you to go in there and finish up some job that had to be done at the computer, and they said, you can take your kid to daycare if you get finished that. So she went in and basically sat down and turned the computer on, and, you know, the place just blew up. There were enormous explosions, and she was knocked unconscious and, you know, came to after some period of time that she really doesn't know how long that was, and managed to gather herself and her child, 2 months old, up, and she and other people who were in a similar position managed to struggle out through the dust and the smoke and what fire there was. There wasn't that much fire at that point, and, you know, stepping over, you know, all kinds of debris and probably people.
All that jet fuel and hardly any fire.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, there were fires coming out of the computers that she remembers, but what she her primary focus and her memory of getting out of there was just through smoke and dust. And then she saw a light, and people were kind of helping her, and she struggled out onto the lawn there. She stepped over the last barrier of the wall and basically collapsed out on the lawn there. And next thing she knew, she was in the hospital. I mean, it's just a horrendous moment of anybody's life. But she is an inspiring character in so many ways. And, you know, you just can't let her be courageous by herself. That she inspires you in that way. And so the only people with the ability to find justice under these circumstances are lawyers. And I happen to be one. So,
well, Bill, that was the next thing I was going to say to Bill Veal here. You are courageous. You have a lot of courage. They clearly, a lot of evidence shows they just whacked a guy, you know, involved with Karl Rove for exposing some things. And we know they kill people every day. You know, they kill 3,000 on 9/11, so they'll stoop to anything. So we'll be praying for you here. And when we come back, specifically why you decided to take the case, what her standing is, and what it's alleging, where this is going. I mean, imagine, folks, we have a plaintiff who clearly has the standing because she was a victim of the attack, and they are going forward with a suit. We'll tell you exactly why when we get back with our guest. Again, I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network. The websites are prisonplanet.tv and infowars.net. Please stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen, and our guest is attorney Bill Veeld. Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're involved in 9/11 Truth, specifically why you've decided to take this on. And then let's get into the suit itself, because it is bringing out a lot of really powerful information.
I did 30-some years as a public defender. I retired as chief assistant in Contra Costa County a couple of years ago. And at that point, I was pretty much like normal, average Americans, unbelieving. And I didn't have any particular suspicions about 9/11. And, a colleague of mine threw a book at me one day, and I started reading. And, I was inspired by, at the time, I was inspired by the enormity of the atrocity that had taken place, no matter who did it. But after you do the reading and you do the research and you learn about what went on, then you become inspired by the just stunning, breathtaking, colossal sense of the nature of the crime itself and the overwhelming arrogance of the people who were engaged in it, the most powerful people in the world, and their thought that they could get away, basically, with what they did.
Well, they think they can get away. They think they can get away with stealing $8.5 trillion with the banker takeover. I mean, arrogance. Who would think they would write up memos saying we can torture children in front of their parents, and then being questioned about it and saying yes, the president has that power? But I'm sorry, I interrupt. Go ahead.
Well, so I'm inspired by the enormity of the crime. I'm inspired by their arrogance, and I'm inspired by the courage of April Gallup. And so I decided that if nobody else was going to do it, in a perfect world, for God's sake, there would have been some U.S. attorney someplace who would have said, gee whiz, this is, smells a little funny to me. I think maybe we ought to look into it. And they would have sent out some investigators. And, you don't have to look that hard to find something to latch on to that leads you to another place, that leads you to another place. And then, if you keep your eyes open and your ears open, you learn what's went on here. This is not hard. This is not really a close case. And so, there you would have thought there would have been somebody in along those lines, some in law enforcement person in this country, a lawyer who would have taken on the job. But that didn't happen, so it's left to the private citizens. And, there I am, and I've got a friend who is a veteran civil rights lawyer, Dennis Cunningham, and the two of us decided that this was something that had to be done. So
okay, so Dennis Cunningham has signed his name onto this declaration against tyranny as well. Reading from the suit itself, by helping the attack succeed, defendants and their cohorts created a basis for the seizure of extraordinary power, a pretext for launching the so-called global war on terror, in the guise of which they were free to pursue plans for military conquest, full-spectrum dominance, and American supremacy around the world, as they have done, reads the lawsuit. And so you go into motive, everything. Walk us through the basics of the suit and what her standing is and where you think this will go, what courts it's going to be heard in.
Yeah, well, April was hurt. It's as simple as that. If you assault somebody, they have a cause of action against you. So we're playing this on the simplest and most basic level. She was hurt by these people. And so she has standing to sue. The Congress of the United States decided very shortly after 9/11 with very little thought, as far as I can see, that everything, every claim that there would be made, that would be made throughout the country, that had anything to do with 9/11 would have the jurisdiction for that claim would be in the Southern District of New York in the federal courts. So that's where we filed the lawsuit. And we believe that, it's going to be a large, hard fight here because these guys have got power that pretty hard to to really conceive of. But anyway, so we make the claim that there was a conspiracy. It included the, you know, the highest people in the government, the Cheney, Rumsfeld, Myers, and lots of other people too that we did not name. We named them as John Doe's, as you do in federal court. And we believe that they got together and decided that this was a moment that was required by American history, that a sleeping nation basically needed to be awakened from its torpor and made to understand the dangers of the 21st century and how, you know, we needed to project our power around the world so that, you know, we could run things as were required by, you know, those who know best, those who have the power in this country. So, they left enough evidence behind that we could see what they had done. We don't know the precise mechanisms in many instances, but we don't have to. And so
that's right. We know the official story has been a disproven fairy tale hoax, a fraud, a sham, a giant cockamamie fraud. And this has to be done. Now, specifically, did you guys file the suit right as Bush is leaving office, hoping that during the transition, someone in the establishment might not be able to block or slow the suit down as fast as they might have been able to?
No. If this is a matter of it's taken us this long to get it together to the point where we thought we were comfortable to go ahead with it. It's an enormous amount of work, and we had a lot of research to do. There's, an enormous amount of material that's been written, and we had to get on top of as much of it as we could in order to have the lawsuit make sense and then make claims that we thought we could back up, and that's what we've done. And so we filed it when we got it ready, and as soon as we could do it, and there was no particular hope that. I don't think things are going to change that much, you know, with the new administration.
No, I agree with you. I was just saying.
People with different attitudes will be in positions where they could affect things, but those people have been in a position to speak out long before this, and nothing's been said. So I don't.
I agree. I mean, if there was any questions about Obama, all of his appointments should leave, and his announcements should leave. No questions about where he is going.
I would disagree with you there. I've got great hope, as a matter of fact, for him in many respects, but I think that this is simply an issue that is too big for anybody with that kind of access to speak on at this point. Maybe at some point or another, it'll be put in a position where they will have to say something. That's kind of what we're doing.
But, I mean, listen, you're a smart guy, Mr. Veal. Look, you've got... I mean, seriously, you've got over, I mean, you can figure out 9/11, you can figure this out. You've got Bush setting up the military to police the American people, and then Obama is cheerleading it, ready to get all this new power, and he's keeping Gates in. I mean, they are passing the baton. They are in unison like it's an Olympic relay team here.
Well, I think your points are well taken, and I'm a hopeful person. I filed this lawsuit because I'm a hopeful person, and I'm going to wait and let those people who have attained power disappoint me. And,
how do you see them? How do you see them?
I'm going to maintain my hope.
Sure. How do you see them coming at you or trying to block it?
Oh, I don't think. These people don't have lawyers. They have law firms. It's going to be enormous.
How you go after them for covering up the attack. And that's one of the points in the suit. This is a very detailed suit. Please continue.
The important thing about this, it's not the most important thing, but one of the reasons why we're in a position that we are is the cover-up basically was conceived before the crime was conceived.
That's right.
Everything had to be done with the thought that, okay, there is going to be at some point or another somebody looking in this direction, and
That's
so
right.
We need to misdirect you at that point. And then they make you look over here, and they misdirect you at that point.
Exactly. The cover-up is the evidence of the crime. I mean, I would say, admission A, or the piece of evidence being brought in A, is that 2 months before, they changed the shoot-down powers from the generals and admirals or their designates to only Dick Cheney or Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. I mean, that was the first time since 57 they'd done that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, well, you know, if you look at the some of the stuff that's come out, you know, and the investigation's been done by, you know, normal people who are not in the business of doing these kinds of investigations have produced enormous effect. The pilots who managed to get the NTSB flight simulation data, the black box data, and it is, you know, conflicts on a very basic level with that produced by the 9/11 Commission. So we have these two entities of the United States government disagreeing with each other about where the airplane went. And the evidence that they gave us from the NTSB to the pilots, through the pilots for 9/11 Truth, shows that the airplane that was flying there was too high to hit the building.
That's right.
There are all kinds. In each place you look, there is...
Yeah, the key here is there's many official stories. There's many official fables, and by doing this suit, you're going to get that, or hopefully get that discovery.
Well, that will be the point. We're going to be telling the judge that we have said enough here to say, okay, now we begin the lawsuit. Now we begin the fact-finding process. And that gives us subpoena power. We get to say, okay, let's have these people come in, sit down, and we'll take their depositions and see what they had to say. You know, when Norman Mineta was testifying before the 9/11 Commission...
Stay there. One more segment with us. Our guest is Attorney Bill Veal. A lot of courage to be doing what he's doing. Hey, I was just talking to Ted Anderson during the break. Did you know that Peter Schiff's father is Erwin Schiff, who I've interviewed many times? He's one of the few people in U.S. history to be in prison for writing a book. That's what he's in jail for right now. They told him like 3 or 4 years ago, they said, don't publish that anymore. He did, and they put him in jail for a long time. Yeah, there's all sorts of dangerous things happening. Our guest will be with us until about 45 after, then I'm going to hit some other news, recap it, and take some of your phone calls for those of you that have been holding. I know a New Jersey cop who actually had architects and engineers founder Gage into town has been holding for a while. I apologize to those folks having to hold, but I have had all these guests on. This is a short segment, and we got one more with our guest. I want to finish up with Bill Veal. Yeah, let's go through the key points, I mean the bullet points. We wrote a story at PrisonPlanet.com titled Career Army Officer Sues Cheney Rumsfeld for 9/11 Complicity, but at the end of the article we post your suit, and everybody should go read this because it reads as a who's who of the evidence of a inside job. And they're going to have a hard time rejecting this, but if they do, where do you go from there?
Where do you go from there? After you lost, you mean?
Well, I mean, you'd appeal it, right?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, we expect, frankly, to be in the appellate courts. I mean, I'm sorry to have that kind of a negative view, but, you know, the history is that these people of power are able to manipulate things in such a way that, you know, they get to run out the string for as long as anybody can imagine in the appellate courts. And so I expect that they will find some argument that they can make that the judge will say, okay, well, I think that's right. And then we will have to appeal that judgment. And that's what we'll do. We'll take it wherever we have to take it. And each time a judge rules against us, it'll be an opportunity for the media in this country to see whether or not there's duplicity going on here, whether people are being honest about themselves. And if the judge rules in a dishonest way, then yeah, that's a time for everybody, you know, to watch the unmasking that's going on. I think that our facts are unassailable, and we've got the law. I think that the judge is going to have a very hard time saying, "Oh no, this isn't a lawsuit." I think they're going to have a very hard time doing that. But if they do, we'll pursue them.
One area in your suit that I may have missed, it may be in there, but I didn't see it, is a predisposition or a history. They admit the USS Liberty was staged now. They admit the Gulf of Tonkin was staged. They admit Operation Ajax with Iran was staged. Over 200 declassified, admitted examples of the U.S. government staging terror attacks against its own installations or against friends who they then want to, sick on their enemies. So with this long history of false flag terror, don't you think that's an important piece of evidence that the people we're charging with this have done this over and over again?
It's extremely important. It's not the kind of thing that we needed to put in the complaint because the history by itself is not going to be enough to get you over. But when the time comes for the trial, boy, the history is going to be really important there, because what we have, one of the large problems that we have in this situation is, you know, there's been this fortress of denial erected by each of us, each human being.
Fortress of denial. I'm going to steal that term.
it's an enormous fortress. It's strong, and you can't really get there. You can't fight against it in a massive way. You have to kind of chip around. And one of the things that seems to me that's helpful of trying to besiege that fortress is by alerting people to the fact of the false flag operation and its history and our history with it. There are countless examples, not countless, but they are many examples, important examples of beginning wars with the false flag. And the idea that the United States is somehow, you know, is above that or something, or different from other nations and wouldn't use that sort of strategy is just preposterous. And so the people of the United States need to think, okay, well, wait a minute. What is about us? What is it about our history in the last 70 years, just for example, that means that we are incapable of these things? And when you start to ask those questions, then the answer is there is nothing about us that makes us incapable.
And then you have motive, and then you have the people running things. This is one of their favorite tools. I bet you're going to try to bring Northwoods into the trial.
Well, I would think so. I mean, it's right there in black and white. But if you ask me, can you imagine, for example, the Soviet Union or Russia?
Hold on, stay there. Final segment. Stay there, Bill. We'll be right back to you. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for that last-minute Christmas gift this holiday season, why not give the gift of information warfare at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're live several hours a day now. You hear from our radio/TV studios, all 20-plus of my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, hundreds of local TV programs I've done, now international, all of it at PrisonPlanet.tv. And your support makes what we do here possible, 15 cents a day at PrisonPlanet.tv. Get a monthly membership for $5.95 or get a yearly membership until Christmas and get 5-plus months free. Check it out at PrisonPlanet.tv. And if you want hard copies of any of my films, super high-quality DVD, Endgame, Terror Storm, Truth Rising, Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut, Loose Change, Second Cut, it's all available. The Money Masters, hundreds of great titles at InfoWars.com. You can go there and order them via the Safe Secure Online Video and Bookstore shopping cart, or call toll-free to get hard copies at 888-253-3139. And regardless of what you do, whether it's PrisonPlanet.tv or buying the DVDs directly from us, make copies, get them out to people. That's right. PrisonPlanet.tv, you can burn copies of all the films and books and material to disc and hand them out to people. And folks are very receptive right now. That's how Bill Veith woke up, was somebody giving him a book about 9/11 being an inside job. I was aware of the history. That's why I was warning about the attacks on the World Trade Center, because I knew the feds had bombed it unsuccessfully in 93. That's why I was on air saying, call the White House, tell Bush, don't blow up the World Trade Center 2 months before it happened. Years before it happened, I was saying they're going to stage large terror attacks, but we could see the preparation for what was happening there. Bill, before we finish up with you, and hopefully you and April back on in the near future as this unfolds, fire out your website or a P.O. box for anybody that wants to financially support with the suit against George Bush and Dick Cheney for carrying out or aiding in the crimes of 9/11.
Well, I can be contacted at the Center for 9/11 Justice at gmail.com, and I'd be glad to contact the discuss it or talk to anybody about how they can support us. But if anybody wanted to send some money, I mean, honest to God, this is going to be an enormous enterprise, and it's going to be carried out thanks to, you know, just normal citizens sending $5, $50, whatever they can do. And the address is 2033 North Main Street, Walnut Creek, California, 94596. That's the address, and we'll take anything that anybody can give us because this
sure.
is going to be a fight.
Give that address out one more time.
Yeah, 2033 North Main Street, Walnut Creek, California, 94596.
All right. In fact, guys, if I give you that address again, can my TV crew get that up on screen? Give that address out one more time.
Okay, 2033 North Main Street, Walnut Creek, California, 94596.
And address those checks to who?
Well, just to the Center for 9/11 Justice.
Say that again?
Center for 9/11 Justice.
Center for 9/11 Justice, and the website's Center for 9/11 Justice at...
Well, there is no... We're lawyers, and we haven't gotten as far as the website yet.
I understand. Uh-huh. Give your email out again.
The email address is centerfor911justice@gmail.com.
All right. Well, people ask me for solutions all day. All I can do is have every courageous good group on that's fighting tyranny on 100 different subjects a week. And this is one of the most important I can think of. And I want to thank the listeners for previously supporting you guys. And for them doing it now, and I hope that they will. We'll put that up on screen. We've only got about 6-7 minutes left with you, sir, and I appreciate your time. Recapping and then getting into more key areas of the case, I also interrupted you when you were getting up to the part of people can't believe our government would do this, though it just came out that they killed General Patton, as we already knew, but now it's declassified, because he wanted to get our troops out of a Soviet gulag that they'd taken from the Germans. So, you want to get 12,000 U.S. troops away from the Soviets? Well, U.S. troops will just kill you. So, I mean, people need to come to grips with the military mind, the mind of the elite we have. Please continue.
Well, I just think if you turn it around a little bit and you say, all right, you talk to the normal citizen, do you think that the Soviet Union or Russia now is capable of, for example, bombing apartment buildings and claiming that it's Chechen rebels who are doing it? Do you think that they're capable of that? Most people would say, well, certainly. Those sorts of people do that kind of thing all the time. What about the Japanese in 1931 at the Mukden Bridge? Are they capable of massacring their own troops and then claiming it was the Chinese who did it? Well, we'd say certainly. I think that's quite possible. Those kind of people, other people, not the United States. Well, think about it. What really does differentiate us from other countries? Why are we incapable of that kind of look at the history? And it turns out we've been using that technique plenty of times to start various things. Or if we didn't do it ourselves, we managed to implement a propaganda exercise, which in essence claimed that somebody else had done.
Yeah, one of their favorites is to hire a proxy group to do it. And then how to frame patsies is also included in things like Northwoods. What are some of the other areas you're going into in the suit?
Well,
and what is the suit seeking?
Well, the suit will seek damages for pain and suffering and all that sort of thing, but punitive damages. This is going to be an opportunity, if we get to trial, which I hope we will, for the American people to literally to say, okay, what is the penalty for something like this? And then they can, the only thing that you can do is put zeros up. But that's basically where we are. Since nobody in the justice system decided that these people needed to be investigated on a criminal basis, it's been left to the civil law. And so we brought the suit and alleged that they've committed these crimes through a conspiracy. We're talking about Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Myers.
Now, this is a common law conspiracy to cause death and great bodily harm and certainly hurt her and her child and a lot of other people, killed some folks as well.
Well, that's right, but it's also a civil rights action for, you know, denial of civil rights, and it's also, you know, a claim that they have retaliated against her for opening her mouth about what she saw and what she knew. And so these are various causes of action under the common law, indeed, and under the Bivens case, which is the famous federal civil rights case. We have said you have denied her federal civil rights, and so therefore you deserve justice. She deserves justice, and you have to pay for her denial of those rights, the denial of her rights. So that's how you put it when the time comes. But we will be, you know, making the arguments in court. And the wonderful thing about this case, if there is anything wonderful about it, is the fact that there is it's across this enormous panoply of evidence. We have every single kind of evidence that that exists.
It's incredible. Well, people always say something this big, they would be caught doing it. They do get caught. It's just they've always controlled the mainstream media, so they keep that information from getting out of the public.
Well, they control the media, and that's extremely important. Obviously, we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are today if it weren't for the complicity, either knowing or unwitting complicity, of the media. I think the most stunning example of that, Jim Dwyer of the New York Times was the person who, on behalf of the New York Times, sued the state of New York and the city of New York to get the firefighters' stories, you know, from that day, and wrote in an email to me when we were having correspondence, saying there's nothing from a personal. There's no human evidence, there's no human testimony that supports the idea of controlled demolition, for example, of the Twin Towers.
And then all over the tapes, it's there.
But, you know, what is the level of denial that can exist that allows a person who actually goes to the extent of filing a lawsuit, gets them the 500 stories of the firefighters and the EMTs, which include 100 and some examples of people talking about the explosions that went off in those buildings. How do you get to say that doesn't exist? So, you know, I don't know, frankly. It's a fascinating subject to plumb the depths of the denial that goes on here and ask people the question whether or not they're actually acting honestly.
Listen, there are people in denial that the Federal Reserve is private. There are people in denial that they've stolen $8.5 trillion. And that's what we know of, the numbers growing. People are in denial. Neocons on the radio still say that WMDs were found in Iraq. So there is a religion of denial. Sir, I want to get you back up in the near future as this develops and as this unfolds and to get more into this landmark case. Bill, thank you so much for the time you've spent with us today.
And, sir, thank you for your work. I appreciate it.
You bet. You know, in the new year or as this progresses, one last question. Specifically, I mean, I have the filings here. This is going into court where?
Well, it's in the Southern District of New York. The federal court in the Southern District of New York.
Okay. And how long until we get some answers on this?
Okay. Who knows? It's going to be months anyway.
All right. Well, we'll watch this as it develops. Is April Gallup excited that you took her case and are doing this?
Well, nobody's excited about this, but she's a courageous woman. It's just an inspiration, frankly, to know her.
Well, I mean, by excited, I mean when you almost fly off a cliff in a car, it's exciting.
You make a good point, sir.
I mean, is she fired up though?
She's a soldier and she wants this done. That's right. I mean, she's excited would be a word that you could use, but she's made the decision. We're going forward here, and let's do it.
I think the right word is she's committed.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Well, we appreciate your commitment, Bill. I can't imagine how much work and time and energy and also the courage it takes, Bill Veal, for you to do this, and your colleague, the other lawyer that's involved. But our prayers go out to you.
Daniel Cunningham, yes. Thank you.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
So, vaya con Dios.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Take care. Good to talk to you. On a lighter note, I'm going to come back and take a few final calls in the last segment, but on a lighter note, we have some really serious world news. World faces total financial meltdown. The bank head of the private bank in Spain has to say, and we have the Madoff guy stealing more than $100 billion and saying he did it all alone. This is par for the course in Wall Street. How do we protect ourselves from the bankers in uncertain times? With our little leprechaun, Ted Anderson, and here is his theme song. There was a lot of stuff I meant to get to in the show. We ran out of time today. One of them was, I knew in California they threw out most of the red light cameras because there wasn't a police officer writing the ticket, which is a citation that he has to swear to. Instead, it was Lockheed Martin in the case of San Diego, so it was thrown out. And in Texas and most other states, you have to be registered as a private detective if you're gathering data for the state, and there's a bunch of special licenses for that. In Texas, from Dallas to Austin, they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars with these illegal red light cameras. And when the Texas Supreme Court and others said, you can't do this anymore, this is illegal, Austin, of all the cities, said, we don't care if it breaks the law, we're keeping them all there. I mean, it's just the government is out of control. And I want to take one final call, who's been holding the longest here in just a moment, John in New Jersey. But before we do that, Ted Anderson, when everything's going to hell in a handbasket and you can't trust the system, you need gold, you need silver, you need firearms, you need guts, you need God, you need water filters. You need to be self-sufficient. That's a great deal on gold and silver. People aren't going to find a better deal. I can't explain to them that you buy gold, at the 770 level, it's 850 plus right now. They'd be crazy to not take advantage of this deal. Don't they understand there's huge premiums everywhere else? Most places can't even get gold and silver, but you can.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the premiums are going up like crazy, and that's why I try to buy at the lower prices. When the gold and silver shoots up, it gives the customers, the listeners a break, a chance to buy it at a better price. If I go back in the marketplace and just try to repurchase what I'm offering for you today, it's going to be $20-$30 higher a coin. I mean, that's how much it's gone up, and it'll happen like that anyways, because I mean, with Toyota melting down and all of Detroit being shut down and
bottom line, don't trust in the government. They want you dependent. Do the opposite. Become independent. People say, well, why gold or silver? Because that's one of the few real currencies. Gold and silver have been used for more than 6,000 years. It is the basis of society. It will always have intrinsic value, and it's portable. It's portable. That, they can put a property tax on your land and take it away from you. They can kick you out of your house. They can even confiscate gold, but it's hard to find. And so, bottom line, 800-686-2237. Ted, thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me up, Alex.
You bet. And the brokers will hold this deal through tonight, correct?
Right through tonight, right up into midnight.
Okay. And they were there the other day, you said, at 2 a.m. taking calls, right?
2 a.m. They're still doing it at 2, yep.
So if you're listening at 2 a.m., go ahead and try. 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. And I told you on other deals, folks, this will go away. That's not some tactic, I'm telling you. It's the truth. 800-686-2237. Okay, last 2 minutes of the show. Nice guy, John, up in New Jersey, a New Jersey detective, a 9/11 first responder. I know he's had Richard Gage in to speak to his group and others. We appreciate him. He's been holding for about an hour, so I'm going to let him have a little bit of time here at the end. John, go ahead. Sorry to keep you holding.
Absolutely, Alex. Really appreciate it.
We're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm asking of yourself and your audience, what I want to do is pretty much refuse to go to work anymore. 9/11 was an inside job. I've solicited my superiors, my supervisors, I should say, and they refused to even address it. Now, the blind sheet that was in Journal Square up in Jersey City, the storage, that's back in 93, Mallory Avenue, that's where they stored most of the explosives. We have premise here. We have legal premise to further investigate this, and they simply won't address it. And you know, I'm a 15-year guy. I have all the bells and whistles. I got all the awards. I'm irreproachable.
Well, hold on. Let me do this. Let me have you on the show as a proper guest tomorrow, because we don't screen calls, so I didn't know what you were calling in about. I just recognized your name. And let me set you up for the show tomorrow. Can we do that right now?
Absolutely.
Okay, I've got your full name, but give your number to John right now when the show ends, and then I'm going to call you up right now, okay?
All right, Alex.
Okay, go ahead and get that, John. Thank you. Still got a cold here. Trying to cough. Rebroadcast starts now, one place, Infowars.com, here in the Info War. And we had Peter Schiff on, a bunch of other people today. It all starts on the streams, Infowars.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.